But before we start the reading, I want to give you just a brief background. So to get us up to, I'm picking up in the middle of a longer story. But for time's sake, we can't read all of it because it would take too long. So I gotta give you the Cliff Notes version to get us caught up of where we're at. So Moses has led the children of Israel by the word of God out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Some things happened. They got over into the borders of Canaan. They sent spies out to spy out the land, one from each tribe, and they came back, and 10 of those 12 spies gave an evil report. 10 of them said, "Oh yeah, I mean, it's real good, it's milk and honey, and there's grapes as big as your fist over there, but there's giants too, and we just can't do it. They'll kill us if we go over there." But then Caleb and Joshua, they brought good reports. They said, "The land, it's right there. God's promises. Let's go take it." And the people sided with the 10 evil spies, and they didn't want to go out. And so God condemned them to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. So it's shortly on the heels of that then God, gives all the things, begins to give them the tabernacle and all of these other things, and establishing the priesthood. And a couple of Levites, led by a man named Korah. Now, Korah was a Levite. Of course, Moses and Aaron were sons of Levi as well. Korah was a Levite. And Korah got a few of them stirred up to say, "Well, how come Moses is in charge? How come Moses' brother is the high priest? Why not us? Aren't we sons of Levi as well? Hasn't God separated us unto himself?" And all those things. And so they raised a ruckus, and he got 250 of the leading men. The Bible says they were well known among the people. They were leaders among the people. And Korah and Dothan and another one, what was that other one's name? Abiram, however you want to say it. Those were the three ringleaders, and they got these other 250 together, and they come up and they called out Moses and Aaron and said, "Why? Well, you're taking too much on yourself. Do you think God's raised you up to be a prince? Why not us? Why not one of us have the priesthood and have some of this authority that you've taken to yourself and to your brother, Aaron?" And Moses, it said, Moses fell down on his face before them, and he cried out to God. So he told them, the Lord impressed, and he told them, "Go get every man, every one of you 250, you go get your censer," which was a metal bowl, "and fill it with coals, and bring it as an offering before the Lord, and so will Aaron, and so will I, and we'll let the Lord establish this thing." And so in the morning they did that. They got their censers, their little metal plates, and they brought him up into to the altar before the Lord. And God told Moses and Aaron, he said, "Separate from among this people, because I'm going to destroy all of them." And Moses begged God not to do that. He said, "Would you destroy the whole people because of the sin of a few men?" And Moses said, then he called out, he told all the people, he said, "Separate out from Korah and Dothan and Abram, get away from them." And then he called them out of their tents. And so they got out of their tents, and they had their families around and everything. And Moses said, "Let this be a witness." I'm paraphrasing what happened, but he said, "Let this be a witness. If these men die a natural death, as is common to men, then God hasn't separated me and Aaron to do what I've said. But if something new happens, something you've never seen before, if the earth swallows them up, then let that be a sign that God has called us into this offices that we have." And about that time, just as soon as he stopped talking, it says the earth swallowed up Korah and Dothan and Abiram and their families, and everything that they had just got swallowed up by the earth as a testimony to the people. And
I need to share this.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're talking about Korah. I was in Numbers studying right now. But just to give you one minute, it takes me a while.
people. And then it says they went and scattered. And so God has spoken and answered the question that Korah so impertinently placed before the people. He tried to take something, and God said, "Moses and Aaron, they're my men." But now that so that has just happened. Now we're going to pick up with our reading in the 16th chapter, starting in the 41st verse. 41st verse of the 16th chapter of Numbers. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Get ye up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment.' And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun.' And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed." Now I want to look back particularly at that 48th verse. It says, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." And that is my thought tonight, is standing between the living and the dead. Standing between the living and the dead. Now, I've already given you the background of how we got here. And we said, well, how could those people be a murmur the very day after God swallowed up Korah and all these others who were great and mighty men? They were leaders among the people. God has swallowed them up. And the very next day, people start murmuring against Moses and Aaron. Don't they realize that Aaron and Moses had already interceded for them once? God was going to destroy them all to begin with. And then here, even in the face of this murmuring, it says Aaron and Moses fell on their face and begged the Lord not to consume the people.
Right.
But we're just like that. We're going to see that here in just a minute. Now, to fully understand what's going on here is we got to understand the position that Aaron had. Aaron was given, God called him unto the office of high priest. Now the Levites, and certain among the Levites, were called to be priests, but there was one high priest, and it was to be Aaron. And then after Aaron, it was his son, and it was to be in his house all the way down. And the high priest had a special job. The regular priesthood, now they did your sacrifices on a daily basis, morning and evening and all of these other things. But the high priest had a special job. It was the high priest that went into the tabernacle, that went into the holiest of holies on the Day of Atonement. The high priest is the one that made atonement for the people. He is the one that went, the only one that was allowed to go into the holiest of holies, the very inner part, and he could only go in once a year. And he gave a special sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. He stood between God and the people and made that atonement. And that was a picture. I want you to understand, Aaron was a picture of Jesus Christ. Now you can go over to Hebrews and read all about that. The writer of the Hebrew letter takes great pains to show that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's the real high priest. Aaron was just a man. He lived and he died. He committed his own sins. But Jesus Christ committed no sins. He's the eternal high priest. But we've got to understand that picture. If we want to see why did God leave this story? Not story, it really happened. But why did God leave this for us? You know, it says over there, I believe it's Paul, says to Timothy that all Scripture is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for rebuke, and to make thee wise unto salvation. He was talking about the Old Testament Scriptures at that time. Now, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and I'm sure there were lots of things that happened over that 40 years. So we've just got a few little snippets of things that God impressed upon Moses to write down for posterity. Why is it that God left this story among all the various different things that happened? And He left us several from that time period. But why this one? There must be some instruction in there for us. And I believe that there is. And but to tease that out, we have to see what Aaron was, who he was, and what he did. He was God's high priest, designated as the one to make atonement for the people. But Korah rejected that, didn't he?
Right.
Korah and Dothan and all the ones that they stirred up. And I'm sure of the 250 mighty and great men that he got, there was many other, in the rank and file that were back there nodding their head like, yeah, it ought to be Korah. Yeah, it ought to be Dothan. Yeah, I don't like Moses either. There was plenty that were cheerleading him that were still out in the crowd. They had rejected the high priest that God had set before them, hadn't they? That's exactly what they did. Why are you the high priest, Aaron? Why do you get to have that office? They were rejecting God's high priest, rejecting the intercessor. How many people today reject the intercessor that God has placed before us, Jesus Christ? How many continue to reject Jesus Christ? God has set Him to be the high priest, to be the one that has made an atonement for us. He's already made the atonement. He already died on Calvary. He's already shed His blood. And God has said, He is the intercessor. He is the one I have designated. There is no other way whereby your sins can be forgiven you. There is no other way by which you can approach Me. There is no other way that you can be in fellowship except you come through the high priest. And it was the same way with Aaron. And they rejected that. They didn't want Aaron to be the high priest. I don't want it to be that way. That's what Korah said. And Dothan and all the rest of them. We don't want it to be that way. How many have said, we don't want Jesus Christ to be the intercessor. We don't want Him to be the high priest. There's all kinds of other religions out there that reject Jesus Christ as high priest. There's all kinds that want to make this way and that way and this other way. And that's why the Scripture says very plainly in the New Testament that by no other name shall men be saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that stands between God and man. There's no other that stands between God and man except the man, Christ Jesus. There's no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved. I believe Peter said that. But people reject that. Lost sinners that have heard the gospel. There may be some here tonight that continue to reject Jesus Christ as intercessor, as high priest. Just the same as they were rejecting Aaron as their high priest. It's a sad state of affairs to be in. And what happened? What happened when they rejected the high priest? God didn't like that, did He? God didn't like it when people rejected His high priest. He didn't like it when they rejected Aaron, and He doesn't like it when they reject Jesus Christ. And let this be an example. What happened when Korah and Dothan and all the rest of them were so impertinent as to question God and question His high priest? God poured out His wrath, didn't He? He swallowed them up. They fell into the earth, down into the pit alive, the Bible says. Never to be seen again. That's God's wrath poured out upon those that rejected His high priest. And I want to tell you, that's just a little picture of what's going to happen someday in the future when God pours out His wrath upon those that have rejected His high priest, the true high priest, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God is not happy when we reject His high priest. If we read this and we go back, man, I can't believe those people did that. I can't believe, especially after God had showed by many infallible proofs that Moses and Aaron were His chosen vessels. God has shown by many infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son, hasn't He? Somebody mentioned that this morning, I think. Maybe Brother Dyer did in Sunday school about many infallible proofs. Jesus Christ proved time and time again that He was who He said He was. All the miracles that He did, all the times that He claimed to be God and told them that He was God, that He did the power, the things that He had and did were by the power of God. And yet, men still reject Him today. They reject the high priest. They reject the intercessor. And let's look at what happened. Now here, they got...
I got some people that want to come in.
All right, we'll bring them on in.
Please come and tell them it's okay.
Okay.
All right, well, come on in.
Hey, come on.
Day, the people began to murmur against God. Really against Moses and Aaron, but it was really against God. God had just proven that Moses and Aaron were His chosen vessels, and so the people were murmuring against God. And God got fed up with it again, and He said He went to send a plague among them. I want to tell you there is a plague among mankind today, isn't there? The plague of sin runs rampant among men. It runs rampant in mankind. The plague is among us, and it will take us down to the grave as surely as that plague did. I want you to see the picture here. These people rejected God, and every one of us from the day of our birth has rejected God. Every one of us is born in opposition to God. Every one of us is a sinner, is an enemy of God. Say, the carnal mind is enmity with God. That's what the Scripture says. That's the way we're born, at enmity with God. Just like these people that were murmuring against Moses, we come out of our womb, David said, speaking lies, murmuring against God. And God has done just what He did here. He sent a plague. Well, He didn't really send it. We brought it on ourselves, didn't we? Adam brought it on among us. The plague of sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, the Scripture says. And that that plague of sin that is explained in the Old Testament sometimes in the picture of different diseases like leprosy, a picture of sin, how that it eats the body up. Here we had a plague from God, literally a disease that was killing people just that fast. It was killing people, and it was running among the people as a result of their sin, as a result of their rejection of God, as a result of their rejection of the intercessor. Remember, they're murmuring against God's high priest. And I want to tell you, everyone that continues to reject Jesus Christ is doing just that, is murmuring against God's chosen vessel, against God's high priest. And just as God sent this plague was destroying the people whereby they were dying, there is a plague that runs in this world called sin, and left to its own devices, it will kill every one of us. Just like that plague was going to kill every one of them. But I want you to see what happened. Moses and Aaron were being murmured against, but even then, their love for the people was great, wasn't it? It was great. Moses, this is probably, by my count, at least the third or fourth time since they've come up out of Egypt that Moses has interceded on behalf of the people. God was going to destroy them all when they cast that golden calf, wasn't He? He said, I'll destroy all of them, Moses, and I'll raise up a seed from you. And Moses said, no, don't do it, God. If you destroy them, just go ahead and destroy me. That was the first time, and he had just interceded the previous day. And so, like I said, this is the third or fourth time that Moses has interceded and said, God, don't destroy all the people. Please don't destroy all the people. And what did he do? He told Aaron, remember, Aaron is the high priest. He said, grab a censer and get some coals of fire on there and go offer an atonement for the people. Offer an atonement for the people. God must be appeased. Aaron, you are the high priest. You are the intercessor. Go and offer an atonement before God on behalf of the people. Even though they've rejected you, even though they're murmuring against you, even though they hate you, even though they would cast you out of the office, they would kill you even if they could. But Aaron, do you love them enough to go do that? And he did, didn't he? I mean, it was a disease. We're social distancing, and we got masks, and we're not shaking hands. We're taking lots of precautions, and there's people taking even greater precautions. And this is for a disease that if you catch it, there's like a 1% chance that you'll die, which is nothing to shake your head at. But I want you to understand there's people just dropping dead. And Aaron runs out into the midst of them. He's not scared. He has no thought of his own well-being, but he loves them enough to run out among them to make this intercession, to stop the progress of this disease, this pestilence that's killing them.
Right.
Jesus Christ did that, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He loved us enough. I made mention of it this morning, how that Paul said, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, didn't he? We were still murmuring against him. We were still in the throes of our sin. We were still rebels against God. We were haters of God and of his righteousness and his holiness. And we were haters of Jesus Christ. Every one of us wants to think that we would have been one of the apostles if we would have been back in those days. But every one of them left him, didn't they? Everyone. They might not have been out there rallying with the crowd, but they left him. They didn't stand, did they? Even Peter that said, I'll die with you, Lord. I'll go all the way. No, he didn't. He failed. He turned yellow. He turned coward. Every one of us would be. And I'm ashamed to say, probably most of us would have been out in the crowd calling for his blood. Give us Barabbas. Away with this Jesus. That's how that crowd was. And that's how we were.
Right.
But yet Jesus came out. No thought for himself. He took off his robes of glory. He put on this flesh. And I know I've preached that over and over here. And I haven't even been your pastor very long. But hey, that's just the imagery that sticks with me. And I think that we need to remember. We need to have it seared into our mind just what our Savior did when he condescended. And I mean condescended in the largest, broadest sense of that word. He condescended to come out of glory and walk here in the form of a servant. Think about Aaron going out amongst that disease. He wasn't worried that the disease might get on him. He didn't have any guarantees. But he had to go out there among those that rabble. Jesus had to come down here and walk among in this sinful world. And rub elbows with sinners and all the blackness of men's heart that he had to be around. And he had to take it all on himself on that cross. But he loved us enough to do that. Aaron loved them enough to go out and make an atonement. And Jesus came to make an atonement that the pestilence might be stayed. We might not all die. And so there was Aaron. It says he went out and he made an atonement. And he stood between the living and the dead. The dead were gone. There was nothing that could yet be done for them. But the living were still alive. And he stood and separated one foot towards the dead, one foot towards the living, and to separate them. Aaron was the dividing line. I can just imagine him coming out into this sea of people. It says in this amount of time, 14,700 people died. That's a lot. That's a lot of people just died like that out of a crowd of I don't know how big it was. But you can just imagine Aaron running out with his censer before God making that atonement. And as he ran out, you can see a line begin to form along Aaron where he was. The dead that were out here as the pestilence, I'm sure it began in one side of the people and just started moving like a wave. And here come Aaron to stand against that wave. And there was a dividing line. There was death on that side, and there was life on this side of Aaron, of God's high priest. He stood between the living and the dead to stop death and protect the living. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done, isn't he?
Right.
Even today, right this very moment, he stands stands between the living and the dead. Now, I want you to understand, every one of us is dead. Now, this again, when we look at pictures and allegories, we can only take them so far. Every one of us is dead. We're dead in trespass and sin is what the Bible says. But listen, Jesus Christ makes a way unto life by His atonement. Through Him, we can move from the side of death onto the side of living. This is what I want you to understand, lost sinner. If you are still lost and undone, and in your sins, you're dead right now. Yeah. You've heard that term, dead man walking. That's what you are. Yeah. Man or woman, you're a dead man or dead woman walking. You're headed towards the grave just as sure as if you had already taken your last breath. You're dead, just as every one of those people were dead. The moment that pestilence started, they were dead if Aaron had not come out to stand between the living and the dead. Jesus Christ came out to stand between the living and the dead. Without His sacrifice, there would be no hope for any of us. We would all be bound for a devil's hell were it not for Jesus Christ. But He stands, praise God, He stands now between the living and the dead. He was standing there between the living and the dead when I became aware of my sins, when He came down and stirred my heart when I was 9 years old, and I realized that I was dead, and I could see almost as in a vision, I could see Jesus standing there. And on the other side of Him was the living. My mother and my father and other saints in the church and people that I knew had a testimony, and I saw them. They were over there with the living, and there stood Jesus. But I was still with the dead, and I was trying to make my way. And it took me 2 years of prayer and on my face before God before I got humble enough that I was able to make my way. And He reached down and He grabbed me out of that mass of the dead, and He moved me over to the living. Amen. By His grace and by His love. I want you to see that picture here of standing between the living and the dead. That's where Jesus is. Just as Aaron came out and stood between the living and the dead, Jesus Christ came down and walked on this earth to stand between the living and the dead. Aaron didn't want to see any of them die. He wished, I'm sure, that he could have saved all of them. But he couldn't. Now Jesus is more powerful than Aaron. And Jesus wants to save everyone, and He can save everyone. But there's something that you have to do. You have to want to be saved. You have to want to move to the living. You have to want to come out from among the dead. Between the living and the dead, and He's calling you, He's beckoning you. He said, come on over to the side of the living. Come unto Me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. Come unto Me, all ye with a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. He wants to take that burden of sin. He wants to take away the pain and the sorrow and the death sentence of sin because He wants you to live, just like Aaron wanted them to live. He ran out among them because He wanted them to live. Jesus came down and walked among us. He didn't do that for His good. He did it for your good, for my good, to save lost sinners. We preached, maybe it was last week or the week before, about that, how that Jesus came to save sinners. It's a gospel worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why He came. He came in to take away the sting of death. The death of this body, and more importantly, the death of your soul. If you're lost here tonight, you're dead. But Jesus is standing. He's standing between the living and the dead. He says, back here on this side is safety. I've marked them off for Mine. My blood has covered them. Won't you come and be with this sacred band of saints that are covered by My blood, whom I have provided atonement for? God is no longer angry with them, because they have repented and believed. Amen. They have accepted Jesus Christ. And I use that word very loosely. I know that that's gotten a bad rap, and we don't believe in a decisional regeneration. But there has to be an acceptance of the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way so that but you can come unto Him. You have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God's high priest. He's the one that God has designated, just like He designated Aaron back there in that Old Testament. He has designated Jesus, and He's the one you have to come to. You've got to accept that before you ever even come to Him.
That's right.
And then when you repent and believe, He'll accept you into the beloved, in among the living. He'll bring you out from among the dead and in among the living.
Amen.
He stands there today and beckons, even tonight. Brother Stafford made mention, God's arm is not shortened. I love that scripture where he says, God's arm is not shortened. His ear, He can still hear unto us. He can still save. And then what's He say later in that scripture? He says, it's your sins that have separated you from your God. If you're lost here tonight, it's your sins. That's your death sentence. Sin, your sin, the sins that you have committed. We're not going to lay it off on Adam. Yes, that's how we got our corrupt nature. But every one of us is responsible for our own sins, our own rebellion against God. And every one of us has enough to take us down into the pit. Were it not for the high priest, were it not for the intercession of Jesus Christ, were it not for the fact that He ran from the tabernacle, He ran from glory even, the presence of God, and came in among us to stand between the living and the dead. And His office, even now, so even now He is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Saint and sinner alike. Now the nature of His intercession is different. I've already been saved. My soul is sealed up, but He still makes intercession for me. He still pleads His righteousness to cover my sins, which I commit every day. And I'm not proud of that at all. But He still makes intercession. When I go and pray, it's Jesus Christ that takes those prayers before the Father. He salts them with His righteousness and lays them before the Father and says, this is one of mine. And if you're lost here today, He's ready to make intercession for you. He's ready to bring you from the land of the dead into the land of the living. If you'll come to Him. If you'll come to Him. I appreciate you listening to me this evening. I hope that we've gotten something out of this, but this is what I want to set before you. If you're lost tonight, are you going to continue to reject God's high priest? That's what got them into this mess to begin with. They rejected God's high priest. They murmured against Aaron, God's anointed intercessor, His high priest. And what has gotten everyone... What's that?
He made examples out of them.
And I want to tell you, it'll be an example on Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, when God sends the sinner, those that have rejected Jesus Christ, when they are sentenced to hell, it will be an example of God's perfect judgment, of His perfect justice. There won't be any tears. There won't be any tears. There won't be, the saints won't be crying any tears for the lost. Not because that we don't love them and God doesn't want to see. He says, I take no pleasure. He said, I take no pleasure in the punishment of the wicked. But it must be done for His glory, for His honor, and for His justice. And on that great day, when we stand before the great white throne, and He separates out the sheep and the goats all end up in a devil's hell, every one of the saints will say, amen. Amen! It should be just, and glorify God because of it. Because it'll be a righteous example of what happens to those that continue to reject God's high priest. Are you going to be in that number? If you're lost here tonight, are you going to continue to reject God's high priest? Or are you going to recognize that death is on your heels? And are you going to run to the one that stands between the living and the dead? Are you going to run to Jesus, recognizing that He is the way unto life? He said, I am the light and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I recommend Jesus to you. I recommend God's high priest. And I pray that you'll see that that pestilence of sin is among us. And the only hope that any of us have is Jesus Christ. The only hope that they had was Aaron and his atonement. Running out to separate them out. To get on Aaron's side. Get on the side of life. I'm sure there was people, they saw Aaron. They were back there. They were running. run unto Him, because they saw that that was where life was at. Are you going to run to Jesus tonight, or are you missing the boat? Are you just going to stand among the dead and dying until the death descends upon you? Or are you going to see God's salvation and run to Him to get on the side of the living tonight? I appreciate it. Brother Cole, if we can get a song, I appreciate it tonight. Come to the Lord. Come to God's high priest.
Amen.
Come to the one that stands between the dead and the living tonight, that you may live. God wants you to live. Jesus wants you to live. But you've got to come by repentance and faith. That's the only way to get on God's side.